January 26, 2024, SWAT Pedro Show.
Yeah.
for Pedro show. Happy Friday. Started off with excerpt live, November 18, 1961. John Coltrane. He's got Eric Dolphy with this unit. My Favorite Things. And then Gerritsen, Gardetsky, Brand New, Do That. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me all the way from Echo Park, Gerritsen and Gardetsky. Not just them two people, but the whole band. Welcome aboard. Thank you so much for being on the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what I was saying off air, we need an origin story. What I'm thinking, now tell me if I'm off the mark here, but since the name of the prod is Gerritsen and Gardetsky, yeah, I'm guessing maybe those two individuals were the principals, but just a guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, during COVID, everybody, like a lot of us around the scene, we'd all played in different bands together. During COVID, to keep them going out of our mind, me and Weaver would just get together and write songs. So we were trying to keep on a practical level because it was hard to get a band in a closed space to practice. We would just sit out basically in her backyard and write songs. So it started out as a duo.
Starts off as a duo, which, yeah, and people, I know you're very popular, Ralphie, but, you know, the listeners, not everyone knows you by voice yet. It will happen, I know. But until then, people, this is Ralph Gardetsky here.
Okay,
I know Ralphie going way back to Joe Biza days.
Way back.
Right? Maybe his first side proj.
Yeah, Congress.
Right. Okay. So, Ralphie, because you're talking about situation only a few years ago. So this project ain't that old. Okay.
No. You guys have been playing, though, for much longer.
Well, Ralph and I have been writing together since, like, almost for 30 years in different bands. We did Putinesca with Joe Biza.
I was going to say, in other incarnations.
That's right.
And but not as, not as Gerritsen and Gardetsky.
Although Ralph and I were writing the songs then, just as we do now. So basically, this, and then Vince played on Putinesca. You played on Red Haired Woman.
Joe Biza too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So we were basically always a writing team, and then when we put together this incarnation of the band, and we've been thinking about changing the name, because we were really happy with the sound, and we like to think of everybody, it being more of a band thing than just the two of us. But right now, it's our name. So, but we started, God, did we start last January?
It was almost 2 years ago now.
Almost 2 years?
Like a little less than that, I think.
Are you telling me, in a way, Gerritsen and Gardetsky is an extension of Putinesca?
Well, I mean, okay, Mike, you know that you like, you've played with certain people over time, and then somebody may roll in and somebody may roll out, and you develop a sort of shorthand with certain people that you play with. Like, we have played with Vince way back in Two Bass Hit, and Brian and me played with Joe Biza. So everybody's kind of played together, not in this exact configuration. So you want to bring people in that you can, like, you know where they're at musically, and they're also get along with them, too. You know what I mean? To me, that's
the same. No, that makes good sense, Ralphie, because what I found out is even if the music is challenging, practice can get that happening. But if there's bad chemistry, no prac can fucking help that.
No. Right, yeah.
That was a very disappointing thing to find, but I found that.
Yeah, well, we all know that. I mean, to me, that's a really important thing. Like, and you were talking about that. I mean, Miles Davis said it, all those cats you're talking about. It's a person's attitude that's going to come out in the music, even if they might not be a chops player or whatever, man. That really don't matter. It's people that you want to spend time locked in a small room with.
Uh-oh.
Not you.
When we started playing with Vince, Brian, and Laura, Laura's the most recent addition, I just felt it was really a pleasure. I really loved just getting in the room with these guys and making music. I was just incredibly happy. So that's what motivated me to just say, we should try to record this in a way where we're all, like, not do it in pieces where we lay down the drums and then the bass, blah, 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 which is the standard way of doing a pop record, but, you know, to do it where we're all, like, in the moment together. So that's what this record is. We're, you know, we did it over 2 days. Everyone practiced their asses off. A lot of the vocals are scratch vocals. They're not, like, overdubs, and I'm just really happy with what came out, especially just because I'm really happy working with these people.
And but you and Ralphie were working first together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making it. And you came up with what, like, what was the goal? Make a set list? Just tunes for recording? Or were you looking at something to do live? And then you found Vince, and then you found Brian.
Well, yeah, I mean,
not fine. I know you're not fine, right, because I mean, you know these cats a long time. I'm sorry.
You know this, dude, from your thing. I mean, like, to me, the goal is to make music. To me, like, the goal is to be creative. If I don't, I mean, look at the state of things in the universe, if you're not making some kind of music to generate some kind of joy, hopefully with you and the people you're making it with. So we would just play, and then you want to get other people in there that you can do this.
Oh, yeah, with. I'm on board with that, Ralphie. What I'm talking about is I'm trying to look at this Garrison and Gardetsky Proj as almost like a child or being. And what makes up this being, you know, these parts? That's what I'm talking about. I understand about coming together, be creative. That's beautiful and stuff. But just in particular, this situation. Like, tell me the first time all five of you pract together.
Laura, you remember.
So I actually, Brian and I actually have played in a band together before that too. So we knew each other, and then Weeba called and asked, you know, me to join. And then we came to the practice space, and they had a couple. So they're always really good about bringing in new ideas to work on. So when you have new music to work on, for them it was new. They just try this out, kind of just like how it would go. Just play a little bit, see how it sounds, and work on it and come back. So we just, and then they had a record that had come out recorded during the pandemic, and it didn't have bass on it, so I had to learn.
You had to come up with parts.
I had to add to that. Like, so that was their set when I came in, and then they had a few new ones since the record, so I was able to just write bass to those parts too, and so I had to fit myself in.
Yeah, but it was cool though, because Ralph, I mean, it was really cool because Ralph is a, you know, I would say he's well known for being a really amazing bass player. But when Laura added parts to those songs, he didn't tell her what to play. He just said, you know, just come up with something, you know, which I thought was amazing on Ralph's part. But then what was really cool was that what Laura played fucking rocked. I mean, it was really like, and so we were like, oh yeah, this is good. So we felt like we had something special going on.
You know, I saw Ralphie tried new stuff with the tiny 6-string machine.
Uh-huh.
With Mourners. You know about this, Proj? That's when I saw Ralphie leave Bassdom.
Yeah.
And head off into that territory. So, am I on the right track, Ralphie?
Yeah. I mean, like, look, okay. Let me self-reference to your reference about, like, when you did, like, Ball Hog, right? We have all the different.
You know what's funny about that?
Huh?
That's your solo record. It's got 48 other motherfuckers. What's the whole solo about that?
Right, but look, you want to get okay? Do you know what I mean? Like, you want Nels Klein to do Nels Klein, right? And Joe Bison is going to be different. And then, to me, there's a certain kind of mentality there which I respect, and hopefully I have too. It's like, why do you want to tell? Okay, if I come up with a specific, like, if you're writing something, you probably do this when you're writing too. Sometimes you have a specific idea, but you don't want to suffocate people with being too specific. Do you know what I mean? Like she might play something I would never think of, which is what makes it, I would never thought of that. Like, you don't want to do it all yourself. It's just going to sound too much like you. You know, it's too much of me, even for me.
Let me know if I'm stretching this too far, but remember that Quentin Tarantino movie, Pulp Fiction, and he gets this, who's that Square John motherfucker? Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell that he picked that part just for that actor.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like, and it kind of was good, right? He's such a shithead, but because of that situation he developed with the gimp and the stupid idiot riding on the back of the bike with him and shit. It happened. And you know, I think Charlie Mingus was like that. He didn't so much write parts for people on manuscript. He kind of developed, he put people in situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, I want to play something from the new stuff. It's called Marriage.
Cowboy and the Stranger. Sky, a cowboy. is dying under stale red sky. So cowboy, surrender, stay down, roll over and cry. Stranger with the Bibles in his hand. He takes a cowboy's water, trading dust from a promised land. And the stranger leaves him lying, feeling no remorse. He's headed for Amarillo, riding the cowboy's horse. The cowboy is lying under blood cloud sky. The cowboy is dying under blood loud sky. So cowboy, surrender, stay down, roll over and cry. Cowboy starts singing a soft little coyote sound. Of times it was a wild one shooting up a border town. With boots off and the bleeding, the day was almost gone. Yet the cowboy keeps his singing while a stranger passes on. The cowboy is lying under the final sky. A cowboy is dying under the final sky. And the cowboy remembers the stranger who passed him by. Yippee-yay.
Crow's nest of stopwatches stolen from the track. Quicksilver relay is not coming back. Canvas now cursed by the porcelain horses cracked. The quicksilver relay is not coming back. Not coming back. Hey, not coming back. It's cats on heat. Deep with striped pistol. Swallows her whistle, blows by like a missile. Good thing he's faster than you. Grab what you can fill, both hands to kill the time with the stopwatches on. Quicksilver relay is not coming back. Not coming back. Hey, not coming back. Grab what you can fill. Both hands to kill the time with the stopwatches on.
sky. Oh, the birds are leaving. How do they know it's time for them to go?
Thank you.
Pedro Shaw, Chunk of Music, start off brand new. Garrison Gordetsky, Marriage. Then we had a demo from Terry Allen, Cowboy and the Stranger, Guided by Voices. You know about this guy, Bob Pollard? He makes a record every fucking other month. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
How prolific. No, this cat,
yeah.
He don't run out of ideas.
Wow. It's really
cats
prolific.
On heat. No, it's not cats in heat, people. That's why I didn't put it next to Marriage. Leaf Blower after that. This is a Highland Park project. Hawaiian Ocean. What's the other guy, right? Endox Electric with Ingard Defoe, Yai Dimon. Nikki, brand new. Who Knows Where the Time Goes?
Oh, I love that song.
Well, you know what? No question mark, so it's, yeah, declarative. Pay the Bill, Michael Christoph, Jerome Glaugwin. And Fabian Robb Trio. Ray Shin with Turn in Circles. And finally, another new one from Garrison and Gordetsky. Taking a Moment. Is one of these the newer ones that didn't have bass that you had to develop parts for?
Yeah, so that one, the intro, Ralph had given me the intro to that song on bass, just the very beginning. And I built the rest of it from Ralph's part. So that was kind of a collaboration.
Yeah, and no, the ending, the coda is beautiful.
Oh, that's all new. Yeah, that's all me.
And that actually, I wrote that on the piano, and Ralph said, oh, let's make that a string quartet.
Okay, yeah. The reason, like, my brain thinks, I'm always stealing stuff from people. As you know, like, to me, that song, if we had money, and you don't want to freeze anybody out of thing, would be like Eleanor Rigby. You know what I mean? The intro, like, I heard that was kind of like, basically Laura was playing like the bass of the cello part, I was playing like the middle part, and Vince was playing like
the violin.
And if we had bread, you'd get the orchestra to do it. But you don't want to freeze anybody out of a job.
No, and the poor carpenter blames his tools, right?
Yeah,
I'm blaming him.
I'm going to have an aphorism war here. Yeah, okay.
It sounds great that way, but you know.
Yeah. Took three nails to sing Jesus, right? Okay. Speaking of carpenters. Where was this recorded?
Gold Diggers in Hollywood.
Okay. And how long did it take?
2 days.
So you guys were practicing. It was kind of like a microphone. You didn't write in the studio.
No.
No, we basically...
Smart.
I think we practiced for... We knew we were going to record like in June, but then we had to like wait till September because I think Vince, you were busy in August, right? He never knows; he's so busy. So we just planned it for the second weekend in September, and we just really rehearsed a lot. We were very tight, but yeah, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh huh.
Did you get to play these songs for people at gigs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, that's kind of, I mean, you got to do the prac, right?
Right.
Band alone kind of thing. But the real prac's in front of people, right?
Oh, yeah. No, that's when you really discover stuff about the music is when you put it in front of people.
Right,
for sure.
Right. Yeah. Like, interesting, I helped a guy with his last two records. What he did, he waited to record them after 2 months of touring.
Uh-huh.
The day after we got back, yeah, like 58 gigs. This shit gets tight.
Yeah.
Well, at least you can't use that for a fucking excuse if it does come out sour ass.
We were tired.
You know, so, yeah, and then, yeah, who's got money to burn, right? People who write in the studio, I mean, that's ridiculous anyway. And what about the multiple take thing? Did you go for that?
I don't think we... How many takes did we do? Maybe one or two at the most? Do you guys remember?
Two on most of them, right?
There might have been a three, but yeah, the average would be...
I mean, we basically... Two. We tracked everything the first day and then stopped and listened back and said... Then Vince or Laura would go in and do whatever, you know, like fixes that they wanted to do. I definitely was really tired at the end of the second day because we were like so focused for so long. And the vocals, I just, I basically was in the room with everybody singing and they had baffles set up so that, I mean, there was still a lot of bleed in my mic from the drums, but I kept those vocals because I love the energy, you know?
Sure. Were you like kind of the producer? Weba, or was it?
No, Mark, my husband, Mark Weber.
Yeah, sure, keyboard Mark, man. Great,
yeah,
great
he was
musician.
In the booth with Ed McKinty, who was the engineer.
Okay.
So he was running the show.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, you know, because a lot of stuff nowadays self-produced by bands, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, you do lose some perspective.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's good to have it. An unconnected cat in a way just for perspective, but in the other ways it's no compromise, you know, you're not marginalizing or compromising anything. So interesting. Tell me about like these tunes that we just played, Marriage and Take It a Moment.
Okay.
You and Ralphie, you bring them there and then you brought them to the band, right? Now how do you do it? Do you make demos? Or do you guys just, as a pair, play them for the rest of the cats?
It varies. I mean, to me, like, sometimes...
Well, that's why I said these two songs, Marriage and Take a Moment.
Right.
Marriage and Doodat.
Doodat, I don't even really remember. Did we just...
Well, I remember with Doodat. Actually, Doodat, usually what happens is Ralph comes up with changes or a bass line, and then I write the melody. But... with Doodat, he came up with the melody himself, and that's why it's such a cool melody. It's like almost like a horn line, you know? And the only thing about that song was that he gave me the demo, but the key wasn't good for me. It was great for his voice. But it, when I sang it, I was just cracking all over the place. So I transposed it up a fourth so it was better for my voice. And then you wrote Vince's part.
Well, see, some of that stuff, like,
yeah,
like I said, you don't want to rain every, you don't want to tell everybody what to do all the time. But you know, sometimes you hear it in your head, like you can't unhear it. Like that one was very, I don't think there's any room for you. It's pretty much all structured, that one, what you're playing.
Yeah,
you
had a specific line.
Yeah. I want to add, in answer to your question, most of, to my experience is that most of these songs come in the form of files that are usually YouTube singing them with, right, a, you know, whatever, you know, guitars or guitar and keyboard, and then you'll overdub a part or sing a part that you want done.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And sometimes you sing the drum line, like you'll sing, yeah, like with Marriage, you had a specific idea of the, of Brian's groove.
Boom, boom, pow,
yeah.
Boom,
yeah.
Boom, well, you know, but you were also saying something about Ralphie composing on the bass, so you're not just playing guitar.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not, I don't really think of it, it's just, okay, real honestly, I'm not really that good of a technical player at anything myself, period. I can get by, you know what I mean? I can get by. I think of myself more as a writer, like, that's what I like, that's my, I like to write, you know what I mean? Like, little structures, so if you hear stuff, like I said, you want, when you're presenting something to the people that are playing, you want them to kind of, if it came out of your head necessarily, you want to give them, like, that's what's cool with people that you're playing with, who you respect the way they play or the way they hear stuff, that they're going to take that idea and sort of run with it, where you don't want to make it too, some of it's just like, this is the way that song presented itself. You know
some
what
is
I mean?
Open, some is loose. But just to be clear with you, Mike, in this particular recording, Ralph is not playing bass at all. Everything that he comps out.
Well, I understand with the recording, but you said something about composing.
It's all guitar for this band.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The only bass was just the very beginning of Moment, I think, was that Ralph gave me.
Yeah, everything else he wrote.
Yeah.
Because it was material before you got in the band.
No, not this stuff. This stuff's the new stuff.
No, yeah. Like for Marriage, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man, look at Vince is going to, I'm going to need to, if I hear a specific line for something,
hey,
like,
look, dude, we're going to have to carry this on because we're at the end of the first hour, January 26, 2024, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guests, Gerritsen and Gardetsky. Hold tight for hour two. January 26, 2024, it's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
I don't know why they got to change
Theater. Thrilling, pacing, dramatic series. And the latest company unification theory of absurdity. One more fly on the herd of fight. 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 Pause of personal sadness. Pause of personal sadness. One more fly on the herd of fight. One more fly on the herd of fight. Herd, herd of fight. Herd of fight.
Succeeded in making Leon extremely upset, extremely upset. Effort had only succeeded in making Leon extremely upset, extremely upset, extremely upset, extremely upset, extremely upset, extremely upset.
Don't bother me, sir. The call was from someone at the other end of the extension. This was the switchboard. I don't believe in mental torture, sir. I don't believe in mental torture, sir. I don't believe in mental torture, sir. I don't believe in mental torture, sir.
Madam Dumb, 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 I cried. I wept like some grandmother.
I'm gonna go get some more.
Pedro should start off the second hour. Garrettson and Gardeski doing Change Things Up. Then we had from Rotterdam, Ventriloquism with Harry Mary. And that's with the E, people, like happy. Scott Marshall, Near to Thee, My Void Am I. And then Garrettson and Gardeski, Blues on Blacks. No, no name. I fucked up here. Before that, because you can't fuck up this band, special band. It's called the Urinal Cakes of America with Blue on Blacks. Yeah, so I don't want to fuck that up. Sorry about that.
Wait, are the urinals going to sue them for, like, name copyright?
It's Urinal Cakes.
So if you add cakes to it, that's like flag, black flag.
It's like Dinosaur Jr.
Okay, wait. You remember this?
It's like Red Cross with fucking K instead of C. You know, what the fuck? Let's talk about Garrettson and Gardeski.
One thing, because you're going to remember this. New Wave Disco Cheers for New Romantic Queers. My God, you remember that song? It was the... Oh, who was it, man? It was from...
I don't know, but let's talk about Gardeski and Garrettson. Never mind. What about this tune, Change Things Up? Origin story, please.
Oh, okay. So I was at Kaiser and getting my vaccination, and I was walking up the hallway, and this old guy, we were like, they changed all the signage at Kaiser, and we didn't know where to go. And he goes, why do they always have to change things? And so that became the origin of the lyrics for me.
Yeah. It's sort of like that argument against skepticism, right? If you're a true skeptic, you'd have to be skeptical of skepticism. So, like, the only thing that don't change is change, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we strangle ourselves chasing our own tail.
That's right.
Little logic bullshit. What about No Name?
No Name, Ralph came up with those changes, and I was just singing... I came up with a melody, and I played it back for him, the recording of a demo, and Ralph goes, oh, I like the way it sounds. We don't need any words. And so that's why we made it that way.
Well, let's talk about words. Do you write on demand, or do you have like a fucking trove? You know what I mean? Like a resource you can go back to? Or I've read about Mick Jagger. He always waits like he's in the studio, and they need words.
Well, here's what I do. I write every morning. I just get up in the morning and write just so that I kind of like keep the flow going. And then, and I don't even pay attention to it. I just write. I have just like all these yellow pads. And then Ralph will like come up with a musical idea, and I'll listen to it, and I'll go back, and I'll look through my lyrics, and it's kind of like going shopping. I'll try different words on, and sometimes I just know immediately what should go with it. But I have a like a background of stuff.
Yeah, you and do then, have a trove, like a little, yeah. I don't know what you would call it, some Huskala, you know, some kind of reservoir. That's it.
Yeah,
right. There was an old tradition of the old Jewish days where that, like, anything writing had to be collected, even little like laundry lists and shit. And this stuff ended up great for archaeologists, but that also I could see as a resource for composition and stuff. Because, but writing on demand, in a way, that brings you to the moment. So I could see pluses and minuses from both ways. Here, I want to play this another tune from the new one. It's called Tide.
Take it to They will build a mighty temple that has no walls. They will invent a brand new human body that has no balls. We need some places to throw rocks away, yeah. We need some places to throw rocks away, yeah. Rocks away, yeah. Rocks away. Come on, movie. And they will invent a new language that has no verbs. They will lay out a bright and shiny
small. I succumb to the forces. Ain't got no oar, so I paddle with my hands. 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 Like a blizzard with rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, sandblast in water, can toss about with otters. Me now. And is anybody near? Calling down below. If you listen, they can hear. Calling down below. Is anyone near? Is anyone near? Is anyone near? Calling down below. If you listen, they can hear.
La dolorosa.
for Pedro Shinechuk and Music. Start off with Tide, Gerritsen and Gurdetsky, their new album. After that, Stony Spring, I mean, terrible band name, but this band had, I guess, Paul Lacus, we just lost, right? Very sad, right? Sweet man. And I guess he had a family, maybe his brother was in this band or something?
Yeah, he's got, like, it's a musical family. They've done projects.
You know, I know he did some I See Hawks and stuff like this, right? And I know him from the Double Nut Spy Card with Joe Berardi.
That guy was such a killer pedal steel player.
Anyway, this was called Backward Prophecy, and he plays on this. I guess it was his brother. It's his brother's band. He was like on three of the songs on the album. And it actually interesting is, I'm not with the band name, but I like the band. Village of Spaces after that. Byron Coley, just this from his Feeding Tube label. Otter Stamp Song. Danny Llamas out of Spain with Que Un Rey Me Yungue. Sorry. Ungodly with Akram after that. And finally, Gerritsen and Gurdetsky with Weight of the World. That sounds like a Ralphie tune. No, Ralphie, you learned a lot of politics from your grandma, right?
Yeah, grandparents, man. They fought with the Lincoln Brigade. I mean, yeah, I'm a baby.
No, much
sure.
Much respect, Ralphie.
Yeah, you know, now more than ever.
Now more than ever. And what about Tide? You know, I'm thinking of tides. I'm thinking of the day, right? The sun rises, the sun sets. I'm thinking of the year, you know, every lap around the sun. I'm thinking of the month, kind of tied to tides, right? The moon. What the fuck is the week about? Why ain't it 5 days? Why ain't it seven? Or it is seven. Why isn't it eight?
Society. It's all about work.
Or it might be about what the old bosses, it's not, right? Let's say Egypt had 6 days. Well, we're going to have 7 days, you know, or maybe something like that. Huh?
Yeah.
But something, it's trippy, right? Sometimes, you're aiding a bet. Sometimes you're all counter opposition and stuff like that. Tell me about this side, this one, Tide. Was this from your Trove, Weber?
No, this was like there. I had a picture of myself and my brother at the beach, and we were like maybe, I think I was maybe three or four, and we're like, it's our backs, we're running along the beach, and I wrote that song just like, I that was not part of the Trove. I just had that image of us at the beach together, and then my brother died, so it was sort of like a memoriam to him. He died last year. So,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And the music part, did it come first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, to me, like, okay, for instance, like with marriage, you know, I mean, like, Vince just killed that thing. I mean, the harmonica playing on there just tears my head off, like,
Ain't that the idea, Ralphie? You want to set him up so he can deliver the good time.
But, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes, okay, if you're writing, if you wrote a particular song, you may have a specific idea or you just have a feeling for it. And you can, so, look at this, is like Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, go, you know, with Charlie Musselwhite or whatever, don't leave him enough like that.
Look, let's say we're building. You could build the finished house, or you could build the springboard, the launch pad.
Right.
Like, for me, Tide, I had a certain thing, like, okay, it's the same with No Name, where the beginning of No Name, I sort of had a specific idea with, like, the flute part, what he comes in with.
Yeah.
And then other than that, it's like, when you play with people with great ears, or really creative, they're going to just take that and make their own. Let me put it to you this way. None of this stuff would sound like it does if everybody wasn't doing whatever they were doing. Does that make some kind of sense? Like, me and Weeba kind of write the stuff, it wouldn't be the same without everybody else putting their flavors in. That's why you want to do that. You couldn't do that yourself, if that makes any kind of sense.
No, it does. It does. But not just that. Maybe, I'm making a guess here, but the unexpected, maybe they bring something you weren't thinking of.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. The law of unintended consequences. It's not always a negative thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was like very much so with Weight of the World. What Vince did with the flute was like amazing. He just like created all that beautiful psychedelic stuff around what was going on.
Well,
that
yeah.
was all Vince.
Yeah, much respect. We're at the end of the second hour, January 26, 2024. This is Why Peter's So Special Guest, Garrettson and Gardetsky. Hold tight for hour three. January 26, 2024. It's the third hour. Watch for Pedro Show. Lot for Pedro show start off the third hour. Garrettson and Garrodetsky doing Beauty and Sadness. Yeah, what else is there? Then we had Professor Huge, right? Eugene Chadbourne with Procession of International Workers to Margaritaville. Not my title. Professor Eugene, Greensboro, North Carolina. Derek Moneypenny with Kurg. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm going to be with him at the Torrance Library next week. Blue Tornado, Garrettson and Garrodetsky. Yeah, I found that. But let's stay in the album thing. So what's Beauty and Sadness? Let's talk about that.
Okay. Do you want to start, Ralph?
Not particularly.
I wrote that about my sister.
So we heard the brother song. Now we hear the sister song.
Yeah, that's right. So she was, she's kind of got an interesting story. She was, when I was growing up, I always thought she was like more pretty than me because she was blonde and just really incredibly beautiful. And then, she spent all her time reading. She was a total bookworm. And then she never felt like she could be a writer. She always felt like she could only be a beautiful woman. So it was kind of the conundrum of being beautiful, but she was also very sad a lot. And she didn't really get happy until she met her second husband. So
you wrote a song about it.
Pardon?
You wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's an interesting kind of thing about humans. That it's about expectations, right? So, in some ways, yeah.
Yeah.
What is happiness and worth and value and shit like that, right? Is it really skin deep, right? Stupid cliche. And did you already have the thing, or did Ralphie, when he brings the music, did it inspire you? Hey, you know what? I'm thinking of my sister from this music.
Do you remember how we started that song?
I have no idea. After a while, it all kind of blurs together where, you know, sometimes you have an idea for a lyric idea or say something, you know, like, and then, I mean, I don't really remember. It just goes.
I remember that I wrote that because there's a songwriter, she's a famous songwriter named Jill Sobule.
Sure.
And she did like this writing workshop, and I took it with her, and it was really hard. She goes, okay, write a song in a minute, right now, and these are your prompts. And I was like, you know, and then she decided that we were going to write a musical, and there were a group of us, and we were all working on this musical, and it was about a hometown. And so I just started writing songs about my family, and I wrote that song, the lyrics, and I just said, I think I'm going to keep this for Garrettson and Garrodetsky. I think I like this. So I kind of, that was like fully realized as a set of lyrics.
You reappropriated. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I reappropriated.
That's all right. Don't let that labor go unrealized. You know, you take the K out of punk, and what do you got?
Pun
rock, right? So, no, because you give me this tune in Zambia.
Oh.
Let's listen. Thank you. lot for Pedro. Show last music for this edition. Started that chunk off with Garrison Garadetsky doing Insomnia. Then we had Orientalism. This is a tune that was recorded live at the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble New Music Fest 2023, Day 2, composed by Sammy Seif, performed by the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble. And then finally, yeah, I've been playing a lot of their stuff. But what it is they get these outside composers and these group of musicians up Eugene, Oregon. They realize their things, man. And it's a trip.
Hey.
It's a fucking trip. There's something about, I know, Ralphie, you were saying you like to, you know, the material that's coming out is kind of the part of the person performing it. But what if it's stuff like this, like where, you know, the people playing have no idea of the composer, and the composer has no idea of the people that are going to realize his piece, you know? That's kind of these cats. Finally, last music for this edition, Garrison and Garadetsky with something live. I found this, Objects in My Quotidian Life. Hit me to this. Enlighten me, please. Quotidian Life.
Okay. This is a song we wrote during COVID, and this was the first song that we played with Brian and Laura and Vince as a band. And when Laura played that bass line, I just went, oh yeah. It became this kind of like, because when Ralph and I did it before, it was sort of like this beat kind of play on words and sort of abstract, and then all of a sudden it had this killer groove, and it was because of her bass line. And I wrote the words like, I woke up, I have insomnia, and I woke up at like 2 in the morning, and I wrote that whole thing down standing in the kitchen at like 2:30 in the morning. And then the next day, Ralph and I made a song out of it, but what really makes that song jump is Brian and Laura's part there.
Ah, much respect. Sure. And what about this live tune? Because is this an early tune? Because it didn't make the album, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
Obviously. Oh, it's not Insomnia, because you also said
I mixed my metaphors, I'm sorry.
Well, not so much metaphor. I mean, they're two different tunes, right? Or am
I right. Okay. No, I was actually giving you the backstory on Objects. Yeah.
Oh, on Objects, that bass line. Yeah. Okay, now give me the story on Insomnia. Okay, also, Blue Tornado. We didn't talk about Blue Tornado.
Well, both of those songs were recorded with Brian and Vince and Michael Alvarez.
Ah, you mean there's a former member of...
There's a former member. So, and we did that, like, I think that was we recorded that right before COVID hit.
And he was, this other member was the bass man?
Yeah.
Okay. He was playing with Vince and the Atomic Sherpas and that. He's just
I remember Atomic Sherpas.
He's just a great, I mean, isn't he just doing straight, he's just playing straight stand-up, like, hardcore job.
He's guy's a
great player.
Why ain't he still in the band?
No, he's not.
No, he's playing, he wanted pretty much straight jazz, didn't
he?
That's
it. Yeah. Yeah.
So he left the band.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'm in this band, sorry.
He left in 2020, right? Our last gig was like February 27th, 2020. So
okay.
Like,
and then the connect Laura, with Laura was Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I wasn't there, so I got to get some kind of sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the cool thing is having a rhythm section that you've seen play. I mean, to me, that's not like a rhythm section that you've seen play with other bands. Yeah. It's already like a well-lubricated machine already. You know, they already play with each other.
Yeah, and you got that now than you did with him.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, would you call Garrison and Garadetsky a genre band? You guys can play any fucking thing you want, right?
Well, I mean, it's me. Look, I was going to ask, because you asked earlier about, like, the...
I mean, you wouldn't call it a jug band, right?
A what?
Jug band.
I would just call it music.
Yeah, well, so would I.
I think he just didn't have as much time to do... He was playing jazz and playing gigs.
Yeah,
I think he liked the music fine.
Yeah, but real quick to answer.
It's got to be real quick because we're almost out of fucking time.
Okay. We were talking about that difficult music ensemble. And I remember reading this thing that said Public Enemy was Carl Stockhausen with a beat. Like, to me, we listen to this a lot. I mean, I just know about my musical taste, but everybody here's got. So if I say, Vince, that's kind of like a Debussy-ish sort of thing over, you know, over a Clash beat. You know what I mean? Like, the, you could kind
of. Full-tone blues.
Right, yeah, you can kind of mix. You, to me, no, I've never heard a band that I went, those guys were too, that music was too interesting. They should take some of that, taper some of that stuff off, you know? Like, a punk rock band playing Dr. Wu or Steppenwolf. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think why things have to be, you know, I guess.
Exactly.
You got to tear things down if things are going to be silly like that. Yeah.
Right.
I'm with you, Ralphie. I'm with you.
You make music, and if people can't dig it, if they want to find a particular genre to put you in, I guess our sales will go down from just triple platinum to just regular old platinum. You know?
Yeah, but I've had people on the show that can't talk about music without having to get those, you know, bins in the chain store mentality, fucking gulag everything. You know? I just can't fucking handle that shit anymore. But anyway, I can't wait to hear the next record. So, what's future for Garrison and Gardeski?
We just heard new songs this morning before getting on the air with you.
A little more groove, a little more dance. Because some of that stuff was written without having played with these guys. So now it's kind of starting, for me at least, starting to settle into a pocket where you're working with, you know, the elements you're working with. Like, yeah, man, I like funk. I like groove.
We like to dance.
Yeah.
We're going to get people moving.
Groove.
Yeah.
Good. Not all of it, but, you know.
Yeah.
And the record just came out?
Actually, the Weight of the World is our first single, and that got played last week in the UK, and it's going to get played again. And then.
And where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can go to GarrisonandGordeski.com.
Okay.
That's our website. Or you can go to on Facebook, we're Garrison and Gordeski, or Spotify.
GARRETSON ampersand GORODETSKY, people.
You got it.
Yeah, great, great. And your next gig?
We are playing the library. Where is it?
Probably? Same one he's playing over there. That's not in April. That's in April. Yeah. We'll do something before that.
We'll do something before that.
Well, go to the website, people, and you can find out where they're playing next. It's been real honor to have you aboard, but I can't wait to have you back. So can I put the invite?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. We keep on keeping on, right? People. January 26, 2024 edition WAP for Pedro Show. Keep you better than that.